Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today on this very special service where there's three young persons are going to be baptized today, making public their desire to be counted as a follower of Jesus Christ. So a very special welcome to everyone here today, an extra special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today, and also those joining us via live stream this morning. So would you receive this call to worship from Malachi 1, verse 11. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So this morning, as we enter a time of singing praises to our God, may we proclaim His name above all names. Would you join the worship team in singing praises this morning?
Okay, well, good morning. I'll invite you all to stand, anyone who's able, and I'll invite the ushers to come forward at this time. And yeah, let's have some fun this morning. So if you would join me.
I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning and worship you, Lord. Thank you for each one of us that we have a place to come and worship you. Thank you for the worship team this morning and the songs that they're leading us in. Thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been placed in the offering basket this morning, Lord. Help them to provide support for our retired bishops and our current bishops, Lord. We ask a special blessing upon them and a blessing upon Eric as he supplies support to our pastors in the district here, Lord, and to their wives as well, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
I once was lost.
And just so everybody knows, this is Haley Fox. She would be the wife of Chad Fox, if anybody knows her. We had an interesting experience on Easter. She was here, and she felt all through the service that we should sing Amazing Grace. And then all of a sudden, this crazy guy jumps up and says, hey, we should sing Amazing Grace. And it turns out that crazy guy was me, and she wanted to sing it. So this morning, she had that opportunity. So now, if we will sing one more song here. Father, we just thank you this morning, and I hope and pray that everyone feels that well feeling in their souls. I felt you moving this morning, and I pray that through this whole service, you just move, and I do pray a special blessing on everyone that is getting that baptism this morning. Just show them something brand new as they come out of that, or they have that water put on them. Help them feel you and your presence and your Holy Spirit with them, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time I'd invite any children to come forward for the children's message. Are we good? Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Tired.
Maybe you can take a nap this afternoon.
Excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited.
Good. Perfect. So what's going to happen this morning? Do you know? Wow. We're going to take buckets and dump them on their head.
Yeah.
You are? That's something to be excited about. Good. That's right. Three young persons are going to be baptized today. So they're going to sprinkle some water on their head, pour some water on their head. Yes, that's what's going to be happening today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So these three young people today are making public their desire to make known that they do believe in Jesus and they want to become a part of the family of God today. So that's what's going to be happening this morning. So it also says in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him."
How do you know that?
Because that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm thinking of somebody who built something out of faith because God told him to do it. You know who that is? Somebody who built a big boat. Do you know? Do you know who built a big boat in the Bible?
Noah,
exactly. So it had never rained before, and so God told him to build a boat, so he built this big boat. And can you imagine all the people who were watching him do this and thinking, like, what is wrong with this crazy guy? He's building this boat.
On land,
exactly. And then it rained and rained and rained. So he was showing his faith in God by doing what God told him to do. So now we can believe, but I think faith in God is also a step further, that we take what we believe and we put it into action. So how many of you believe that this chair will hold me if I sit on it? Only two believe this chair is going to hold me if I sit on it. Wow.
I believe you.
You believe it's going to hold me if I sit on it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have faith that when I sit on this chair, it's going to hold me, okay? Probably not. Well, let's see what happens.
And then it just collapsed.
So that is... We all believe this chair is going to hold us, but it takes faith to actually sit in the chair that, and show that we believe it's going to hold us. Okay, so that's the way it is with faith in God. When we believe something, we also have to act upon it, and that shows that we have true, genuine faith in God. Okay? So I'm going to have a prayer for you guys, and you can grab a snack there by Sandy on the way back to your seats. So God, we just thank you this morning for these children. We ask for a special blessing upon them. And I just pray, Father God, that they would begin to believe in you and trust in you and one day commit their hearts and lives to you. So we thank you and praise you for your many, many blessings. And again, a special blessing upon these children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hold it.
There you go. Well, again, good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus, who said to Nicodemus in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So welcome to Bowmansville and this very special baptismal service where these three young persons are going to be making public their desire to be counted as a follower of Jesus Christ. These services are all always special in the life of our congregation, as it gives us a little window or a glimpse into what God is doing in his church. So we're currently working our way through a sermon series and exploring God's design for each one of us, as we understand from Genesis 1:27 that God created each one of us in his image. So our topic for this morning is designed by God to have faith/believe in him. So when Tony asked me to share this topic, a question immediately came to my mind: is there a difference between faith and believe or believing? It might seem like these two are interchangeable. So let me give you a quick answer, and then we're going to dig in a little deeper. A believe or belief is based on information, and faith is based on application. So let's begin by defining faith. A biblical definition for that can be found in Hebrews 11:1, which says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So the writer of Hebrews uses two words to describe faith. They are sure and certain. These two qualities need a secure beginning point and an ending point. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character, that he is who he says he is, and the ending point is believing in God's promises that he will do exactly what he says he will do. Faith in its truest form is when you have complete confidence in God to the point that it causes you to act upon those beliefs. We see examples of this in Hebrews 11, where we see over and over how faith impacted the way that people lived, the choices that they made, and the things that they did. So we're going to just consider two of those persons this morning. Noah built an ark by faith when it had never rained before. Abraham obeyed God and left to go to a place that God was leading him to go to, even though he had no idea where he was going. So over and over, there are examples of faith in this chapter 11 and throughout the Bible. And the common thread running through these examples is when faith was present, their actions demonstrated it. Then in James 2:17, we read these very familiar words: "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Where there is faith, there will be actions. Your actions will or should reflect your faith. So maybe we should look at a definition of believe or belief. The dictionary gives us this definition: an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. Perhaps the biggest difference between faith and believing is that believing something does not automatically translate into action. It may have the potential to shape your behavior, but there's no guarantee that it will. Believing in its most basic form is about what you accept to be true. So can you believe something but not have faith? I think the answer is yes. In James 2:19, it says, you believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. The demons have the head knowledge that God exists, but they have no desire to obey and follow him. So perhaps we can believe things but don't actually follow through and act on that belief. For example, people, and probably everyone here this morning, believes that you can jump out of an airplane with a parachute on your back, you can pull the ripcord, and the parachute will open, allowing you to safely land on the ground. You can ask just about anybody, and they will accept that statement is true. However, it's a completely different story to take the step of actually putting a parachute on your back, going up in a plane and actually jumping out of the plane, pulling the ripcord, and then safely landing on the ground. Doing that requires more than believing that it's true. It requires faith to actually do it, because faith requires that you act on what you believe. So how can we move from believing to true faith? Now, this answer may sound rather simple, but here it is. One step at a time. One action at a time. At some point in our journey with Jesus, we all need to take a step and demonstrate our faith in Jesus by our actions. So that's exactly what these three young persons are doing here this morning. They're taking a step of faith by their actions of requesting water baptism in this public worship service. So praise God for that. I believe the only way that our faith can grow is by acting or stepping out in faith, stepping out of our comfort zones, trusting God to be there and to guide us in our life's journey. I also believe that God truly wants your faith in him to grow. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, we read these words. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Our faith must be more than belief in biblical truth. It must result in action, which includes adding these things to our faith in increasing measure. God desires this so that as your faith grows, you will trust Him with bigger and bigger things. The beautiful thing is that God is full of grace and will give you opportunities to practice or demonstrate your faith in Him. Because faith matters a lot. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. In God's plan for your life, no matter how young or how old you may be, God always has something more for you. But to receive it will require that you trust Him to turn your belief in Him into genuine faith, which happens by acting on what you believe. So perhaps there's some, or maybe many of us here this morning, who have settled for what I call basic saving faith and not much more. So you may be sitting there saying, "What are you talking about, Larry?" So here's the question. Where is God challenging you to believe in Him in ways that Jesus can respond to and increase your faith? I would venture to say that most everyone here this morning, if we're honest, know what it's like to struggle with faith in God when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to our health, when it comes to our marriages, our families, our children, etc. When faith is absent in these areas, that's when things like worry and anxiety begin to creep in. Faith, like many things, must grow and be developed. So this morning I would like to remind you, and I say remind because I'm not going to share anything brand new or earth-shattering, or at least I hope it's not brand new. I'm going to call them faith fertilizers. And I'm only going to share two. I could share a whole list with you, but chances are you remember two better than 10. So faith fertilizer number one, intimacy with God. Intimacy with God the Father doesn't just happen. It requires intentionality. It's hard to believe in or have faith in someone that you don't know. On the other hand, the better you get to know God, the easier it is to believe in and have total faith in Him. So here's a news flash. Intimacy with God is for sale. Yeah, that's right. It's for sale. But you can't buy it with your hard-earned money. The currency for intimacy with God isn't dollars and cents. It's our most precious resource, time. If you want to experience intimacy with God, or anyone for that matter, you must be willing to pay the price of time. And by that I mean consistent, uninterrupted time through worship, through prayer, reading and studying and meditating on the Word, and practicing other spiritual disciplines. A close look at Jesus' life throughout the Gospels reveals a man who craved time with his Father in heaven. Time after time, he would leave his disciples and commune deeply with his Heavenly Father. And that deep communion and time with his Heavenly Father developed a deep and intimate relationship with him. And I believe that is one of the reasons that he was able to trust God to the point of dying on the cross for our sin. Faith fertilizer number two, daily food from God's Word. And this ties in very closely with intimacy with God. Not only does our faith grow through spending time with God, but also through reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. In order for anything to grow, it must be fed. God's Word is faith food. It feeds our faith with the information that we need to learn, believe, and grow. And the more we learn about who God really is, the deeper our faith and trust in God grows. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We are designed by God to have faith in him and believe in him. God will not settle for a mere acknowledgement of his existence. He wants you to have a personal, dynamic, growing relationship with him that will completely transform your life. Those who earnestly seek God will discover that they are rewarded with his intimate presence in their hearts. And one closing thought. As we practice spiritual disciplines in our lives, like praying, reading and meditating the Word of God, etc., we will discover that they do not make us perfect people, but we should have Jesus' deep peace and intimate presence in our lives. So may God richly bless everyone here today, and especially these three young persons who will be receiving water baptism this morning. So would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you that it is possible to have that deep, intimate, personal relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that these three young persons who are receiving water baptism here this morning have a desire to make public their belief and their faith and trust in you. So we ask for your special blessing and anointing of your Holy Spirit as these three persons receive water baptism here today. And we pray this and ask this all in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for your challenge this morning, Larry, to grow closer to God and be more intimate with Him, spending time with Him in prayer and in His Word. This is a time of celebration in the life of a church, to witness people desiring to come and be baptized in the name of Jesus. So I'd like to invite William and Caitlin and Juliana to come forward as I read some information about them. And then we will get into our questions this morning. William is the son of Bob and Debbie Rissler. He attends Hinkletown Mennonite School and he's going into eighth grade. His hobbies and interests include computers. I wonder where you get that from. And trail life. His favorite Bible verse is John 1:1-3. And he chose this verse because he likes how it shows that we just can't comprehend how big God is and all that God can do. His favorite song is Who I Am by Casting Crowns. And something that's unique about him that he wants you to know is that he's very nerdy. Again, I wonder where you get that from. We have Caitlin Haller. She is the daughter of Tom and Joy Haller. She attends Cocalico High School. Some of her hobbies and interests are drawing. She likes to watch anime and playing video games. Sounds like fun. I enjoy video games as well. Juliana Haller is, again, the daughter of Tom and Joy Haller. She attends Cocalico Middle School. She enjoys arts and crafts, video games, singing, and music. Her favorite Bible verse is 1 Peter 5:7. Something that's unique to her and that she enjoys is writing. And she's very imaginative in that. So that's a little bit of information about them. And I encourage you to ask them questions and get to know them more. So I have some questions for the three of you. And you can see them on the back screen as I ask them. Is it your personal desire and decision to be counted a follower of Jesus and to become a member of His church and to fellowship here at BMC? Can you answer it is?
It is.
I understand. You're very nervous, and that's okay. Do you believe in the one true and living God, who is known to us as God the Father, Jesus, God's one and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Guide into all truth? Can you answer, I do?
I do.
I'm sorry, I'm not keeping up with the slides. Are you sorry for your sins? That can just be a yes or no. Or I am. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Do you promise with God's help to follow Jesus all the days of your life and to use your gifts to help others in need and to serve God in His church? Can you answer, I do?
I do.
To you, the congregation, are you willing to receive these persons into this fellowship? Do you, as a congregation, promise by God's grace to receive them in a spirit of Christian love, to encourage them in their walk with Jesus, and to also pray for them as they strive to follow Jesus? Can you signify by standing? You see all these people? They are here to help you, to encourage you, to lead you and give you guidance and pray for you. You have a family that is here to help you. You may be seated. So, Caitlin and Juliana, you may be seated. I'd like to invite Bob and Debbie forward, and William, you can... I couldn't find a larger one, or I would have gotten that for you. William, on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Arise and walk in the newness of life. May God bless you and lead you and guide you all the days of your life. God bless you. Give your parents a hug. Tom and Joy, I invite you forward, and Caitlin, I invite you forward. Caitlin, upon your confession of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I extend to you the right hand of fellowship, Caitlin. Arise and walk in the newness of life. May God bless you and lead you and guide you all the days of your life. God bless you. You want to give your parents a hug? Juliana, I invite you forward. Juliana, upon your confession of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I extend you to the right hand of fellowship. Arise and walk in the newness of life. God bless you. May God lead you and guide you all the days of your life. So I have one announcement for you. In 2 weeks, on July 9th, Moe's King of the Gideons will be here, and there will be a basket offering out for you to give on their behalf. So will you stand for the parting benediction? From 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed. And the three that were baptized will be up front here to greet you, so I encourage you to come and greet them in the name of Jesus. You're dismissed.